Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. We're in the building tonight. Again, we're not around my table, so.
Around a little bit bigger table.
It's a little different, but nevertheless, we got plenty of light here, so we hopefully we'll stay in the light. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3. We are still doing some of Solomon's work that he has written for us. And this is going to be study 4 in the book, The Preacher. And this is April the 25th, 2018 for the tape. And we're going to do part of chapter 3 tonight, and it deals basically, a lot of it deals with time. And you know, when God instituted time, it was for man's purpose, and not God's purpose. Times and seasons, he says. And we need to remember that in terms of what Solomon has put out for us. And we realize that we've been talking quite a bit about man's labor. And but there's one thing that I've noticed that so far, even in the Song of Solomon that we did before we started this study, the thing that I have seen that is so far that he hasn't said very much about was resurrection. And I feel like that as he saw his father as he grew up, and he saw his father and the problems that he had with the kingship of the 30 years that he ruled Israel, and also the problems that he had with Saul that came before him, that maybe so far he just hasn't got around to saying very much about it. But he talks about the labor that man has gotten involved in the world, and he uses basically the same words all the time about that it's vanity. But he does understand and realize that God's toil, rather than man's toil, is permanent, and his is not. But when I think back on it, that as far as up to the point where Solomon lived and reigned on the time limit there, or the time span there, I don't believe that he had ever seen anything resurrected. So maybe that was not something on his mind or in his mind at that point, because when you look at what man does on this earth, and it's all vanity, then it is almost like, well, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I think he never, maybe has never come to the point or the reason that we are in a test here. And of course, the test started when Eve met the Shining One in the Garden of Eden. And the test is going to go on until everything is put under the Lord's feet. And so we'll go ahead and get involved here. Verse 1 is it deals with labor, and then he goes into other things that we have in our everyday life in verses 2 through 8. And then 9 kind of stands out by itself in the way it's in structure here. So we'll just start with one. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
So, incidentally, that's exactly the scripture that Forrest used last night. He went over the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome the way y'all are thinking along the same.
Okay. So if we look at it, it's to everything, and everything here is the event or the operation of man. Man gets involved in either in events or either with his operation of life. It's, you know, and it may vary from day to day. And man's life takes many turns and twists and changes. So to everything, and that thing there is, I considered it to be an event or an operation. There is a season or appointed time, a time to every purpose. And that purpose, to that extent, was prescribed by God. And it says under the heavens or in the earth. And then we get 2 through 8. So verses 2 through 8 speaks of seasons. Because when you think about it, regardless of how many times the calendar has changed and how many days have been added or days have been taken away, when God sets a season, it is generally required, and if you get to that point and your calendar's not right, then you know you're off, that God isn't off.
Amen.
In that situation. So we'll get to verse 2.
It's up to us to figure out where he is, right?
Right. Absolutely. And it says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So, We don't have any control on this time to be born, other than we know for man it is a, generally speaking, a 9-month period for a man and a woman to give life to someone, this 9-month time, and a time to die. And certainly Solomon knew something about that, because he had seen his father pass away. And I'm not really sure that he thought he would ever see that. But nevertheless, he certainly did, because it says in the Song of Solomon that Solomon's mother turned the kingdom over to Solomon. That David didn't live that long, but he didn't do that in his lifetime. But his wife did, to do that, the way I understand it. A time to die, a time for the release of the spirit. And a time to plant, he says. And this is something that man cannot do. Man cannot alter a season for the planting, because if you plant something, if it's not in its season, it's not going to produce, and you have lost your seed. And with mankind, a seed was a great thing that was to be had. And we find out in Genesis, early in Genesis, that when God was restoring the earth, the seed was in the earth. So the beginning seed was there when God brought it forth out of the water and brought it back into operation by the light of the Word of God, and it began that way. And it says, man can't, I made a note and said, man can't alter this season or the next. Because it says there's a time to pluck up or to gather in. that which is planted. And also, the situations go right along with the kingdoms that were established on the earth, that man established kingdoms. But a kingdom was not established forever because things that man do are temporary. And they only last for a period of time. And that's the way kingdoms has been. Of course, you might live within a kingdom and you might outlive the king or queen, but still the kingdom after a period of time seems to fade away. And then we get to verse 3 where it says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. And a time to kill is judicially set forth or by the law or only when the law allows this to happen as concerning what God has placed out for man to live by. Away from that time, it's called murder. So, and there's never any time for that. That's something that, and that's the reason that there are, things that go along with that that will cause you to lose your freedoms that you have been given. And these situations. He also says there was a time to heal. And in the Strong's, that's 7495. And it's rendered raw fall. And it means to mend, to sew up or to repair, to cure, or to make whole. And in the sense of the English, I think it means to get well, to become well again, or whole in that sense. And it also says there's time to break down. And that's Strong 6555. And if you'll notice these numbers, and I've mentioned it before in my studies, that seemingly, that any numbers that reaches over 6,000 in the Hebrew came kind of at a later time as time was going along, because it seems the further you go in the Hebrew, in the numbering system that Strong has come up with, that it seems that the words mean things that are worse and worse, not better and better. And so the earth basically is in a situation of getting worse and worse. To break down equals to break out, and or to break up, or to break down, or to break away. It means to break. And it can be literally or figuratively. It means to break forth or to grow or to increase or to press or scatter or urge. So the break can mean it, that it can go either way. And it says, and also there is a time to build up, or to see, or to understand an increase. And it can be an increase in any of man's labor, because man is always in the mode of trying to get more and more, trying to build up. That's part of our psyche. That's part of the way we're wired, in other words. It's a situation of wanting to increase. You know, we swap our old car for a better one and all this. It's something that, man realizes that what he makes, that what he has and what he makes and what he does here on the earth and Mother Nature, for the want of another words, always trying to get it back. And if you leave it alone for a while, Mother Nature will get it back. Because if you don't do repairs on your home, well, take me for instance. I took care of my wife for 7 years. And I let my yard just kind of grow up. Mother Nature's trying to get it back. Because I had it nice and clean at one time. When I built the house, I had it nice and straight. But, man, I've got stuff out there now that I don't know where it came from. So that's just the way it is. And I think that Solomon really understood that, that the fact is that if man does something and he don't continue it, it has a tendency to go away.
It's like ancient ruins.
Yeah.
You'd have to dig them up.
Just to go away. Well, you know, when God sent his people away from the Jerusalem area and from the area of Palestine there, that he told Ezekiel and all of them that it's going to grow up. It's going to be wild again. 70 years was required of them to pay him back for his Sabbaths and his holy days. And 70 years, you wouldn't know it. You know, be gone and just walk away from something and leave it for 70 years. It just wouldn't be there. Let's look at verse 4. It says a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Weep there is 1058 in the Strong's. The word pronounced is balka. It means to bewail, bemoan, or to wail, to complain, to mourn with tears. And it's also used by those in those lands over there at that time around the Holy Lands, that they would beat their breast and
throw dust in the air,
pull their hair and cry and do all these things. So it's a time to weep. And that's certainly something that we've kind of moved away from that as far as the way they did it. But then it says that there's a time to laugh. And in this book of Solomon, it talks about, he uses the word mirth. And if you look at it, it's the joyfulness, fun, gaiety, or merriment that he talked about over in chapter 2, that it's, and he put a little wine and stuff with it too, seemed like to make the merriment more like a party than anything else. But he realized and he understood that there's a time to do this along with the time of weeping, because the man always is involved with sorrows or pain, but he also needs the outlet. He needs the way of getting it off his chest. And I think this is a part of that. Then he says there's a time to mourn. 55:94. And that mourning again is like pulling the hair and beating the breast. means to lament, to wail, or to feel sadness with seemingly no hope for remorse. It just seems like sometimes it goes on and on. You know, when you mourn for someone that you really love or fond of, it takes sometimes a long time to get over that. And certainly I can attest to that from last year. And he also mentions a time to dance. And of course, David loved to dance. His father loved to dance. And so I think he saw this and understood this from his father's teachings and doing, that the child normally picks things up from his father. And there is that time to let out these emotions, to party or together with friends for just the mere fact of gathering and enjoying the time with each other. And it's great for mankind to have friends, because we have so many loners now. And we see a lot of times their outcomes because they don't have this outlet to go to, and they might get involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in. Verse 5 is kind of unusual. It says a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. So you need, kind of need to go back and see where Solomon's coming from here. If my memory serves me right, that David went down to the brook and he gathered 5 stones. And he gathered those 5 stones to do a job of killing one man, but he also had brothers. And so he picked up stones that he could cast away in a man-made apparatus that he always carried with him when he was a shepherd boy.
That was the AR-15 of the day.
Yeah. But it also means to clear land like you would clear a vineyard, or you would clear a place to plant crops or whatever. And around here, my memory is that we picked up and gathered stones out of the field and put them on what we call terraces, or places to keep the land from washing away when it rained hard. But there was another need for that too. Because you know, when God put Adam, when he cursed the land and he put Adam out of the garden, he clothed him, and he talked about that he was going to have to make his way by the sweat of his brow, and that they would be thorns and thistles. But the covering that he had on, whatever it was, the skins or whatever, at that point, he did not promise him an abode. He didn't promise him a building. And so here he was put out into the world, but now there were things there. They were the trees, they were the rocks, and the things that he could use to make this. And so there would be a time to gather stones together, because they would be streams to cross. They would need to form up and build up piers and lay down timber to cross over the streams rather than get wet every time that he needed to go somewhere. Yeah. Or the fact is that he could use it for a residence. And they did that evidently quite often over there because the stones were readily available.
Well, you know, oftentimes in the Old Testament they were instructed to gather stones together and make an altar. Don't put a tool to them.
Yeah.
Leave them the way God made them, but you take them and you arrange right. them and make
they
an altar.
They did that all yeah. the time.
All the time.
To build an altar to God, and it had to be from the original.
Right.
It couldn't be from
yeah,
what?
My rocks. You leave
what
them.
What man?
You leave them
you that, yeah. And it says there's a time to embrace. That's callback. 2263 in the Strong. And it means to clasp in, to clasp the hands, and or arms in a hug or a fold. And this embrace here would need to be with one that you were, had a great rapport with because you didn't do this to a stranger. And it's because it said there was a time to refrain from embracing. And you certainly didn't do it over there in those days with a strange woman. If you did, it might become a time to kill. So, that's just...
Or a time to run.
Yeah, yeah, but he doesn't say here
yeah,
that there's a time to run it. No. So we'll have to go with what he's put down. But, you know, even in the Song of Solomon, it said that those guards that dealt with her for a little while she was looking for her shepherd boy, took her... took her headpiece off and her deal with that was that she felt naked by even not having the face cover and whatever you call the thing that covered the head, just that alone, that she felt pretty much nude with not being fully dressed, being outside but not fully dressed. And so, you know, to show this to a stranger, especially to a strange woman, would be not something that would be, it would be Solomon's understanding that this was a time to refrain from embracing. And then verse 6 is a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. So we know that man deals with other men. And you know, oftentimes years and years and aeons ago, the deal of bartering was pretty respected, that you could swap somebody something for something in return. The time to get, you could either buy it or trade for it, and it still goes on today. This is generally a way that we can acquire things, that we either give something that's supposed to be worth something for something that's worth something else. And that's basically how we get things. And then it says the time to lose.
Tony said, I swapped my haircut for some fish fillets last week.
Did he? Did he? Okay.
That's pretty good, Tony.
And it says that there's a time to lose. And certainly, they are things that Mother Nature causes. There's things that the natural law sends to us by the way of weather and all these things. And it causes us to lose things by either by loss of life. And if you have, like if you have cattle or something, and they get caught in a flood or whatever, you don't always gain when you do things. So there's man-made causes. And then there's natural causes to cause a person to lose, and or fire or whatever,
yeah,
or storms,
lots,
or
lots can happen.
Or you know, and so we find that sometimes it's our own dealings by how we lose these things. We can do it by being stupid. And man does do stupid things. And Solomon understood that. And it says a time to keep. And that's the word Shomer. It's 8104. In the Strong's. And I like to look at this. When we talk about things to keep as objects that we value greatly, because not necessarily monetary value or not necessarily what we swap for something to get something back, but there is something that maybe somebody you inherited something or something of sentimental value that belonged to someone else that was given to you as a gift. And of course, we have that from God because He gave us the gift of His Son.
Amen.
And where, and certainly, that is a something that really would take us a long time to talk about that if we just started in to do it. A time to keep, and that means to hedge about something, to guard, to protect, or watch over it. So, because there's always somebody out there it wants it to, regardless of what you have. So this keeping of things is covers quite a large thing. And then it talks about a time to cast away. And again, this number is 7993. And it's Shalak. And lack means to go. You know, when I did the study and walk, there was two ways you could walk. One was Halak, and one was Yalak. And Halak was the way that man wanted to walk. Not necessarily the way God wanted him to go.
No.
But Yalak was the way that God would send you. So, when we look at this, we see the word shalak, to cast away. It means to throw or to throw down, to throw away, or to throw forth, to throw off or out, to hurl or to pluck. And quite often, man has problems with that because he don't even want to throw away his is trash. You don't want to throw away what Paul said was done.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Philippians, Paul was thinking about the things he got as being a Hebrew. And he named them off and he said, all these things I count but dung.
That I may win Christ.
That I might win Christ and have that excellency of knowing that resurrection, that out resurrection. Yeah. I'm going to put that under my feet.
That's literally what he did.
But we don't really do that sometimes. We don't want to throw that away. We don't want to put it under our feet. We might say, well, they'd be a use for it someday. Oh, we know how that is. If you've ever been a fireman, you'll soon learn that people save things. Boy, they don't need in their house. Verse 7. It says the time to rend, the time to sow, the time to keep silent, the time to speak. To rend is to pull apart or to split away. It is 7167. That's Korah. It means to cut out or tear. And figurative. If you look at it, that word figuratively, it means to paint the eyes as to enlarge them, ladies. I think, you know, I like to see a lady that's made well, but things can be overdone, and we know that. And
that's the word for rend there?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never saw that before.
Yep. And a time, that's the figurative part.
Yeah.
To paint the eyes as if to make them look bigger. I scratched my head at that one, too. And it says a time to sow is to join together or to adjust. And certainly to join nations for a cause. Because a lot of these countries or a lot of these places they would gather together to fight the enemy because they would have a common enemy sometimes. They would join together that way in a time to keep silent, to hush, to be quiet, to be still. And to be still means to hide from the enemy or to snap, if you will, if you're at war. Because if you're going to hide from the enemy, you don't want to make any sound. You want to do it in silence. And it also says there's a time to speak. And the word speak is 1696 in the Strong, so that word is dabar. And it's to arrange words of thought as an answer or to appoint or to bid or to command or to declare, to say, to talk, to teach, or preach even, to herald. Or utter. There's lots of meanings for the word speak. It's kind of like the word walk.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of derivatives.
There's a lot of derivatives to that. And then we get to the last one about the word times. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And the word love is 157 in the Strong's. So So that kind of gives you my idea of the numbers going up and down. You see, you start out with love, and then as the higher the numbers get, it seems like the worse they go. But the word love, what can you say about love? It is all had. And that's what God had for mankind. He had affection for. And man should have affection for God. He should have that same sort of love for God and for his son. And also for his spouse. And his family. Or if you go to the Ten Commandments, for your neighbor or for your friend, even.
Yeah.
Which sometimes, in this day and age, we don't even know. And it says there's a time to hate. That is 8130 in the Strong's. So again, if you're going from love to hate,
that is strange.
You have made pretty much the entire scope of the range of the Hebrew language. What can I say? I don't know if anybody else, when they're looking, did they pick up on this or not? But that's the kind of things I think about when I get involved in God's Word. And the word is sone. And it's really personal in use. And it can be used as an enemy, a foe, it is to utterly loathe. And it brings on a time of war. This mentioned there in 8. That's to hate. Now, war, man can go into war without really knowing what he's going in for because he can be sent into war. And that word is 4421, and it's melkawah. It means to fight or cause to fight a battle, and it is or can be an engagement of hate. That generally ends in some kind of an agreement. And that goes to the next word there, in a time for peace. You know what peace is? Shalom. I think we've all heard that word in the Hebrew, shalom. It means to be well, happy, friendly, to have prosperity, or at least a chance of prosperity, to have rest, to have safety, and be made whole. And so, from 2 to 8, it's kind of gone down the gamut of what Solomon had brought forth for us, that generally deals with mankind in his everyday situations. Then we go back to the word labor again in verse 9. And it's profit. And it says this in 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? So he's saying, what gain, what yithron, 3504 in the Strong's, hath he that worketh. 6213, to do, to make, or accomplish by his energy, by man's energy. In that wherein he laboreth or he toileth. And so Solomon's saying, well, what gain has he that does all this stuff? He's eventually going to die and he's going.
It's all vanity.
It's back to vanity again. Right, yeah. It's not going to do him any more good. But now, when you go to Revelations and you find the books are open, and it says some are going to be judged according to their words. Was he truthful in that? Or did he know about that? Might have been a great secret that God hadn't revealed yet. Well, it's time to go home. Time to close. That's a good place to do it, ain't it? We'll pick up with 10 and go on the next time. I didn't know how far I'd get because I didn't go over to try to see the length of it, but I've been doing about 14 or 15 verses, but we'll get into the personal observations. It goes from the 10th verse of chapter 3 to the 4th chapter, 16th verse, and the structures of the way that the word is put together. And, you know, and it's in four sets here. And the last of each of the four sets, he deals with pleasure or enjoyment. Pleasure or enjoyment in 13 and also 22, 4:6 and 4:15 and 16. And the last one, the pleasure enjoyment, he says it is none. He kind of adds up all this and then he subtracts it at the end of that grouping there because he understands that what man does is temporary. But what God does is eternal. Mm-hmm. And is permanent. And so that, if we don't get anything else out of these things, at least this is what we need to remember, that God's plan and purpose are eternal. He has thought it out. He knows what he's got, what he's doing, and where he's going with it. But man, sometimes he can't come to that understanding. That he thinks he's just here to have a good time. Some of them, they never think about trying to make a living. They think about trying who they can beat out of something. But that's just the way man is. That's the way the world is. It's downhill in a sense. And they don't never give God his place in their life. They don't let Christ do the leading and the guiding through the Holy Spirit. A man indwelled with the Holy Spirit needs to listen to that Spirit because that Spirit will never guide him wrong. And he'll always be doing that God would have him to do. So thank you for being with us, and I hope you got something out of that. I know I have been over it before, but it's been years and years and years ago.
It was a double shot for all those of us who were on last night, so that's really good. You went into a little more depth with the words than Forrest did, but Forrest had more of a range of how it applies and applicable to us today, so it was a really good mix of the two.
Well, man is not changed a whole lot from that day.
Except so it get worse, maybe.
Yeah. He certainly didn't get better, but he does have the opportunity now to know and understand the greatness of the gift of his son and that love that he portrayed through his son for us, and that we should try to do what man can to show and to give back to him just that little portion of thanksgiving of what he gave to us.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. God bless you, and hope to see you at the conference.